Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Real ghost stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway. And I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email them to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, and she also loves ghost pictures, so.
Not so much.
So feel free to send those with captions like kittens and puppies, and then just freak her out.
Okay, that's only going to work once.
They are the best pictures available.
Okay.
Has anyone sent any to you yet?
No.
Probably the last time we talked about that show probably has not aired quite yet.
I've been lucky. Most of the ones that I've gotten so far were not just very evident that there's something there. And it was like, okay, I'm just going to forward this to you.
Sure. You really got to look in some of them.
Yeah.
It's rare that there's one where it's like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, and those are the ones that end up on Seeing Ghosts.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, one does come across. So the other day, you were outside, and our 4-year-old has a suspicion of what might be going on in the neighborhood.
What are you talking about?
What she heard. She heard noises.
When we were outside.
Yeah.
And, you know, we live in Branson, so there's an abundance of older people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I'm assuming, probably like a small group of ladies next door, and something, I guess, funny was said or happened, and then I just hear this roar of old lady laughter.
Mm-hmm. And we're in an area around a lot of trees,
mm-hmm.
and it's quiet. It's mm-hmm. very quiet up here. There's not much traffic, so you hear birds and rustling of leaves and people. You can really, sound travels pretty well right around
and
here.
You just see trees. You don't really see anybody else's house.
Sure.
And so Harper was outside, and she heard that too. And she looks at me and goes, oh, witches. And she just made the assumption that we have witches in the neighborhood or in the trees.
And it's just a nice group of old ladies probably playing canasta or something.
Yeah.
And
getting ready for their lunch.
And Harper hears the laugh and witches.
Witches. So hard to calm her down when she says stuff like that.
Now, was she scared? Was she upset? Was she trying to be funny?
No, she was pretty confident. I think confident is the right way to describe her.
Kind of like Nancy Drew, like I solved the mystery.
Mm-hmm. But I just meant it's hard to, you know, comfort her when I'm trying to not laugh.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, because now she's to the point, too, where if you say something to her, like, or if you laugh and she knows, I mean, that it was an unintentional joke, because mm-hmm. she loves making jokes, but if it's an unintentional, it's like, why are you laughing?
But then she also will do this, oh, it's funny, so I'm going to say it 400 times.
Yep, then it's like, it's an open door. Mm-hmm. So, I thought that was amusing.
It's great.
Witches. Watch, she'll be right. We're going to find this out very soon.
Okay.
Let's go to our first caller. Hi.
Hello, guys. I just started listening to your podcast because my sister's a huge fan, and she got me into it. But I wanted to share my story on what happened to me a couple years back. My grandparents live in a small town in Oklahoma, and they lived in this house my entire life. My dad grew up there. My aunt grew up there. It's just been like a really like a family home that we've all grown up in. Anyways, we would stay there over the summer, you know, and enjoy a summer with our grandparents throughout the high school years and everything. And we would hear people chattering at night, dead night. We would hear people chattering in the living room. And me and my brother and my sister would wake up and we're like, our grandparents talking in the middle of the night in the living room? And we would hear, like, they had two rocking chairs in particular, which they sat in. And you could hear them rock from the bedrooms because the house was kind of like a mobile home, but they turned it into a home, like an actual house. They added on to it. So we could hear the chairs rocking, and, you know, they're out in the middle of the woods, so everything's like dead silence. You can hear everything in detail. And we would hear the chairs rocking, and then we would hear, like, mumbling, like someone, like, having a conversation, but you can't really tell what they're talking about. So ever since then, we've noticed, you know, there's some activity going on around that property. You know, there may have been a cemetery at one point out there. Who knows out there? But anyway, so my aunt and my dad would tell us stories too. Like, they used to hear people talking in the living room. They would always wonder what's going on. They'd hear pacing and everything. Well, my story begins when I was on college break, and there's a college in that town, and I decided to live with my grandparents while I was on break. And I got really sick. I had strep, and my eyes started to swell, and I was miserable. So my grandpa would work during the day, and then my grandma was a stay-at-home person, so, you know, she helped me out while I was sick and everything. So on a particular day, I was dead sick, and I was in bed, and I couldn't get up or anything like that. And I remember her coming in to my bedroom and was like, hey, you know, you need anything? And I was like, no, I'm fine. Maybe later. And she's like, okay. Well, that was that. I didn't know she left the house or went to do an errand. I didn't know anything about that. But I remember I felt like a weird energy, like something negative. But I tried to brush it off because I was, you know, sick and I couldn't do anything about it anyway. So I was just laying in bed with a rag over my eyes because they were swollen. And the house was quiet. You could hear like one of their clocks ticking. And all of a sudden I heard, you know, the chair rock. So, you know, I thought it was my grandma. And this is during the day, mind you. And I yell for her, and I was like, hey, grandma, I need a glass of water, please. And then I hear the rocking chair moving. She didn't say anything, which is kind of odd. I heard the rocking chair rocking back and forth, and then all of a sudden it stopped. And then I felt like someone was walking up the steps and going into the kitchen. And I heard the faucet turn on and the faucet shut, so I was like, okay, she's bringing me some water. And I can't see anything. Like, everything was blurred. It's so hard to see anything. But I see my door open, and I see a dark shadow, which I thought it was her. It was the outline of a person. Come in, put the water on my dresser, and just stand there. And I'm like, oh, thank you very much. But then that person didn't say anything, so I thought it was kind of weird that my grandma didn't say anything back to me. So I was just, okay. So that person stays there for a couple seconds. And I'm feeling kind of odd, but I'm too sick to actually pay attention. And this person walks back out and shuts the door and walks back down the hallway. I don't hear if they go back to their chair or not. But anyway, so I'm laying there, I drink my water, and all of a sudden I hear that a car pulled up. So I thought, oh, somebody's here. And the door opens, and it's my grandmother, and she asked me if I'm all right. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I'm fine, but thank you for the glass of water. And she was like, what glass of water? I was like, you gave me a glass of water, right? And she said, no, I just came back from town. I had to leave for a minute. And I was so terrified. I couldn't even tell her what happened to me. I was like shocked. Actually grateful that whoever gave me water, but I was the only person in that house in the middle of the woods, so no, it couldn't be a neighbor or anything stopping by. That was my actual first encounter of something that I could kind of see, not really. Maybe if my eyes weren't swollen, I could have seen what it was. But it was there. I heard it was rocking on the chair, and it walked, and it gave me a glass of water. That was intense to me. So it makes me like a firm believer that there are weird things out there that we can't explain. And I do believe when people say they've seen things or hear things, I'm with them in that boat. But I really wanted to share this story, and I will keep listening to your podcast and subscribe. Thank you so much, guys. Bye.
So I want to know, if she had been able to see this ghost, would it have been like a shadow person carrying this glass of water down the hallway? Or how would that have even looked? That would have been so interesting.
Like, would the water just appear to be floating down the hall?
Uh-huh.
Or would it appear as if a human was carrying it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's more than just, oh, there's a cup of water. The water has to be put into the cup, too.
Mm-hmm. And she heard that.
Yeah. Oh. That's one of those where you really wish you would have gotten the security camera.
Yeah.
To watch that happen.
At least it was helpful.
It was, yeah. Very helpful. Gosh. If someone caught something like that on tape,
mm-hmm.
Of course, everyone would try and debunk it and everything, but if you could, like, not prove that it was not debunkable.
Uh-huh.
This is, I don't know how you do it, but somehow prove, no, this is it. There's no, nothing was altered here. That would really prove some sort of existence, I guess, to a lot of people who would not believe it.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of these things are aware of if there's something capturing it,
mm-hmm.
or whatnot, or maybe that hinders it. I don't know. But there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's a helpful ghost. Thank you for your story. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's get another caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. First-time caller. Very recent EPP member. I've listened for quite a while now and always wanted to become an EPP member, but I just kind of never got around to it. I'm going to try to remain anonymous due to the very unique nature of my name. I live in a very small town, so everybody knows me around here. But I don't know that, I'll jump right into my story, and I don't know that my story is so much as scary as it is just kind of strange, something that I've always kind of wondered about. Oh, by the way, welcome to Southern Missouri. That's actually where I'm from. So I hope you guys are liking it around here. But in my story starts when I was little. I was in grade school. I couldn't tell you what age I was. And it only happened once for me. And it happened to somebody else in my home. And I've always kind of wondered about it. But so what it was is, when I was little, my mom would, she kind of had a ritual that she did every morning, just the same routine, same thing that she would do. And she would come into the doorway of my room. I never had a door. And she would flip on my light and she'd be like, hey, get out of bed. It's time to go to school. It's time to get dressed. And so, and of course, being the little kid, just like everyone else, I'd fight it and be like, no, I don't want to get up. I want to sleep, five more minutes, mom. And, she would walk into the utility room, which was right across from my room, and she would get, snacks and things like that for her lunch before she went to work. Well, so and when she would come back out, she'd be like, hey, it's time to get up. That was your extra time to sleep. You need to get up, get ready. And so I would get up and go about my daily thing. Well, one morning, I remember I woke up, and I looked towards my doorway, and I saw what looked like my mother. It was a same height, same body shape, same everything. I thought it was her, but it was black. It wasn't full. I couldn't make out any features, anything like that of my mom, and I kind of attributed to that, my eyes were still a little sleepy, and it put its hand where my mom always put her hand to turn my light on, and I saw the hand move a couple of times, but my light never came on. And then it turned and walked into the utility room. And I thought it was my mom, and so I propped myself up, and I was waiting for her to come back down because I was going to be like, hey, I'm up, it's fine. And, you know, the minutes went by, nothing happened. And I started to kind of, you know, wonder, like, well, where is she? What's taking her so long? You know, what's going on? So I got out of bed, and I walked over, and I opened the utility room door to tell her, you know, hey, thanks for not turning the light on, because I always complained about the light being turned on because it hurt my eyes. And I was like, thanks for not turning the light on, you know, I'm awake. You know, you don't have to say anything. And as I open the door, there's nothing there. And it took me, it stopped me dead in my tracks. And I was like, well, I know I saw her. I know I saw her. I know I saw her go in here. And so I walked to the living room, and she was sitting there drinking coffee. And I asked her, and I was like, did you go down to the utility room and wake me up? And she was like, no, I was going to wake you up in about 5 minutes. And I was like, oh, well, I'm up. And I just kind of went back to my room just thinking, well, you know, it's kind of attributing it to, it's something that happened in my sleep. You know, I was still dreaming when I woke up, you know, nothing big. And I went about my day. Well, sometime after that, I couldn't tell you how long after that, but it was a while, you know, and I never saw anything again. I never heard anything. Some family members came down to stay, and my parents moved into the guest room and gave them their room because they were an elderly couple and they were on my dad's side. And they stayed for a couple of days. Well, one morning I got up and walked into the kitchen. Mom was making breakfast. I got something to drink and we all sat down to have breakfast. And they were like, hey, you know, thanks for checking on us last night. We were fine, you know, and we were sleeping okay, but, you know, thanks for checking. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they were like, you know, you opened the door, you kind of peeked in at us just to make sure that we were all right. And, you know, you didn't say anything, but you shut the door and you left. And I was like, I didn't get up last night. I slept all night and, you know, everything kind of stopped and they all kind of looked at me. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was asleep all night. I never got to check on you. And they were like, well, it was your height, you know, and it was your, we thought it was you. And I was like, it wasn't me. They were like, huh. Well, that's odd, and basically the conversation kind of got dropped from there. And I always just kind of thought that, you know, maybe it was something in the home, because I want to say it was very recent. Maybe it was a year or two after we moved into the home that all this happened. And I think, you know, maybe it was somebody who used to live in the home or something like that, just kind of checking on us, making sure that we're all right from time to time. And, you know, like I said, I never saw anything after that. I've never heard anything. I've never got any bad feelings in the home or anything like that. And my mother has told me several times that she's heard footsteps or and some things like that, and I always tell her, you know, in a joking manner but also in a kind of serious manner, you know, maybe it's our friendly resident ghost just checking in and making sure that you're okay when I'm not around. And, you know, she kind of laughs it off and just goes about her day. But that's my story. I'm just kind of curious what you guys think about that. Think about, you know, what it could possibly be. I will tell you this, that the only blood relation that I have is my mother. So, you know, we don't have any family or anything over here. We haven't had very many deaths in my extended family through my dad's side or anything like that. So I don't know who it could be, what it could possibly be. But it's never been anything that I felt was bad in our home. But thanks for listening. Thanks for having this great podcast. Like I said, very recent EPP member. I've always wanted to do it, kind of never got around to it, but I finally said, you know what, I'm going to do this and catch up on all the episodes, all 100 and something of them now. But thanks for a great podcast, and thanks for having a good platform where people can call in, and thanks for keeping me entertained as I drive around in the middle of the night in the fog for my job. But thanks for listening. I'll try to call back. I have a couple of other stories. Bye-bye.
Thanks for sharing your story and those experiences. What kind of makes me wonder is when you have something like that where maybe it's a former resident that's coming there to haunt the home, if you will, or keep an eye on it. Does the resident have to die in the home or around the home or at the time of them residing in the home to haunt it? Or can someone pass after moving farther into the future and then return back to that property years later. I want to talk with Jenny about that. She had to step out for a moment. I'm going to pose that question in just a few moments to her, probably after our next call, and get some of her thoughts on that matter. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the show.
Hey guys, it's Josh from Louisville, Kentucky again. First called about the haunted farmhouse in Bardstown and the haunted tavern in Bardstown. I got another story for you, as promised. However, this one doesn't take place in Bardstown. This takes place in Louisville, Kentucky, the city I currently live in. I've lived here for about 10 years. Like I said before, it's the home of the Kentucky Derby, and it's about an hour north of Bardstown. Anyway, it's situated right down the Ohio River, for those who aren't familiar with Louisville, Kentucky. And it's not near as haunted, or you don't hear near as many haunted stories in the city, but it's an older city, obviously, and there's a lot that has happened here. When I first moved here, I had an apartment. One of the first years I moved here, I think it was my second apartment, actually, that I lived at in the city. It was right across the street from, basically right across the street from two of the largest malls in the city. So it was kind of in a busy, high-end, high-traffic area, but right down the street from me, tucked away on a little side street, was a pub called Joe's. And they called it Joe's Older Than Dirt was the full name of it. It's a very eclectic, very not niche, but just an old-timey looking, you know, hole-in-the-wall dive bar. We used to go there every Thursday night for cornhole tournaments and pool tournaments, and it's just a nice little place that me and my roommate could just walk to when we lived together right down the street from it. Anyway, one night, me and my roommate and a couple of my closest friends, we walked down there just to have a few drinks. We had already been drinking at my apartment, but we walked down there, and we came across one of our friends that worked there. He was a bouncer. We came to know him pretty well. His name was Stan, and he was telling us, I mean, granted, it was around Halloween time. It was middle or late October. I apologize if you heard my car singing to me. I'm on my way into work. But anyway, it was the middle of late October, and it was a Wednesday night, and it was fairly empty. It was just us in there and maybe a couple other people. And Stan told us that he realized he never told us that the bar was haunted, and he knew that I'd get a kick out of that coming from Bardstown. And so I didn't, you know, I asked him to kind of elaborate on that. And basically, he told us that the bar used to be a general store in the early 1900s. And it was owned by a very, very angry, older country gentleman, almost like a fur trapper-looking fella. There's a picture of him hanging in the front part of the bar, which is where the general store used to be, and then the back part of the bar is what they added on to over the years. So anyway, we're in the front part. It's quiet. We're all talking about ghosts and swapping stories and whatnot. And Stan tells me to get up and look in this mirror, and I might catch a glimpse of him behind me. So I did, and I get up and look in the mirror, and of course I don't see anything, and I'm just like, oh, whatever. At this point, I'm completely sober, I'm ready to go home. But I'm standing there, I look in the mirror again, and over my shoulder, standing at the bar, is what appears to be an old man in overalls, and a great big gray bushy beard, and the angriest face I've ever seen on his eyes. And so I turn around, thinking that maybe it was Stan's boss. And he was mad because, you know, he was not really doing his job. He was just sitting around talking to a bunch of drunken 20-something-year-olds. But there was no one there. So I told Stan what I saw, and all of a sudden, all the glasses hanging above the bar started rattling in the racks that are above the bar where they store glasses. And that freaked us all out. We looked out the window. There's no trucks coming down the road. The road is empty. There's no, like, big generator or something in the basement that would create, like, vibrations. So needless to say, we all left, and didn't really frequent the bar that much after that, especially if it wasn't busy. So anyway, that's my story. Hope you liked it. I'll be hearing on an episode soon, and keep up the good work, guys. Talk to you later.
Mirrors. That's my thing. I'm just so afraid of that, and I know you're afraid of that at night, mm-hmm. seeing something.
It's been enjoyable not having mirrors in our bathroom right now.
Well, that's going to change today. Sorry.
Yeah, because we got a bunch of antique stores that we're going to be hanging up.
No, we didn't. We did not.
But we just did some repainting here at our new house, and it's been a lot of, taking things down and whatnot, so the mirrors have been missing. I can tell you the amount of time I've looked up over towards the mirror, and because the paint color that we chose is kind of a grayish, and I, thinking the mirror is there, going, why is it all foggy? Oh, wait, there's no mirror there.
No.
But, yeah. So I had this question after the last story, and I wanted to pose it to you about ghosts and where they habitate, because the previous caller, you heard the call before the show, but they were talking about how they think that the ghost in their home may have just been a former resident at some point in time. And this will throw you for a loop. Can you go back and haunt the home you loved after you've already moved from it? After, like, say, just say it's the course of life, and you're fortunate enough to go through a lot of it, even into your older years, of you eventually leave your home, and then you maybe go to an assisted living or something, and, or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still several years off before you pass. You pass, and then 10 years after leaving that home, can you go back and haunt the house then that you liked? Or do you have to die in that house or near that house or close to the time period of leaving that house to return to that house?
I think wherever you feel a strong connection, you can go.
Well, then that really kind of shoots down a lot of the whole, they died in the house, now they're going to haunt it. Because they could die anywhere, potentially, and come back.
And that could explain why people suddenly have a haunted house.
Out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was wondering.
I think so. And I think sometimes you have astral projection where you have people that are visiting a house in the middle of the night, maybe dreaming or something, and they're not even dead yet.
Sure, and it's not even... It's ghostly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a true ghost. It's the...
I just think if you had that strong of a connection to a place, you can go there.
So there's still chances
that
we could get ghosts.
No, probably not.
You kind of, well, I was going to say, I kind of guarantee you won't if you're getting like a new build. But then it depends on the land, too.
No, it doesn't. I mean, there's plenty of times where...
They can still come and go. There's no guarantee no matter what.
Yeah. Or there might have been where an old house was, and it's been torn down and built.
Unless you're using Demon Away. That's the only foolproof thing.
Okay.
To keep the ghosts away. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Only Demon Away can keep, and then you go through all the laundry list of the possibilities.
Sure.
That's how that would work. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Lindsay. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. I listen to your podcast all the time. It helps me get through my work day. It's awesome. I just wanted to call and tell you a few things that have happened. So my boyfriend and I moved into our house about a year ago now. When we first moved in, about a week after we moved in, a neighbor came over and introduced themselves and was telling us about who lived here before. She was an older woman, not in very good health, and she had a very tumultuous relationship with her children. So no one really ever came around except for a few nurses. And eventually, unfortunately, she did pass away here in the home. It did kind of freak me out a little bit. I have always been kind of very sensitive to the paranormal. And my boyfriend is a huge skeptic. So we're definitely opposite ends of the spectrum. And I started noticing the first month we were here, just small things where things would come up missing. You know, we'd set something down and it wouldn't be there. And I just chalked it up to maybe we're not organized yet. Maybe I'm forgetting where I put things. I started to make a note in my mind to remember when I put something down. And, of course, it wouldn't be there. Just small things like that. Sometimes I would hear music playing in the back of the house. No one else would be home. I would walk back there thinking maybe someone left a TV on. And as soon as I got to the back of the house, there'd be no more music, and it was as if, you know, I'm the only one home. So one night I was sitting on the couch, and I heard a very loud bang that came from a closet in our hallway, and I thought, wow, something must have fallen. But then I thought, that's a linen closet, and there's nothing in there but towels and blankets, so there's nothing that would have made that noise. So I get up, and I walk to the closet. I open it, and course, there's nothing in there. So as I shut the door and I turn around to walk away, is a huge bang again on the door. I screamed and ran down the hallway like a little kid. It's definitely startled me. So fast forward a few nights after that, my boyfriend works out of town, so he was gone, and I had my nieces over for the weekend, and they're little, they're 4 and 5. So we had our girls' night, we did our toes and what have you. They went to bed, and I tucked them in and told them goodnight, and my room is right across the hall, so I went and laid down, and about 30 minutes after I tucked them into the bed, the oldest, the 5-year-old, came in the room, and I told her, you know, it's time to go to bed, we have to get up early. And she said, well, I can't go to sleep, Aunt Lindsay, because that woman's in there. And I said, what woman? And she said, the grandma. So I said, okay, well, just sleep in here with me. The other niece was asleep already, so we'll leave her be. So just sleep in here with me, and it'll be fine. So they go home the next day, and a couple of days after that, my boyfriend's back, and we're laying in bed to go to sleep. He's already asleep, snoring, paint's peeling off the walls, so he's knocked out. And I'm laying there, and I'm falling asleep, and I'm not all the way asleep, but I'm not awake. And all of a sudden, I hear someone say, wake up. So I look over, and I think that it's my boyfriend, but he's still asleep. So I said, well, maybe I had fallen asleep and started dreaming and didn't realize it. But I was a little weirded out, so I'm laying there trying to fall back asleep. And at this point, I know I was awake, and I hear very loudly in my ear someone whisper, a very, like, loud whisper. They said, wake up. And I could feel, like, the breath on my face. And when that happened, I sat up immediately in the bed. And as I sat up, I see my bedroom door, like the opening to my door, and I see like a shadow move across the door. So I immediately woke up my boyfriend and I said, hey, you know, I told him what I saw. I said, go check it out. So he gets up and he goes into the front of the house and comes back not too long later. And he says, very funny, you know, good prank. Don't wake me up for that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he said, what you did in the kitchen. He was like, come on, just go to bed. And so I have to get up because I have to see what's in the kitchen. And every cabinet and every cabinet's open and every drawer is pulled out. And I'm like, just great. So now I'm really creeped out. So I shut everything and I just said out loud, I said, you're scaring me and I want to go to bed. Just stop it. So I went to bed, fell asleep after a while. And a couple of weeks later, he's out of town working again. At this point, I'm really creeped out. There's too much stuff that's happened in the house now, and I don't like being here by myself. So I'm sitting reading a book, hoping it'll make me drowsy so I can fall asleep. And the best way that I can describe it is the word vision. As I'm reading this book, I have like a vision of a woman standing across from me in the corner of the same room that I'm in, and she's crying. And I am all of a sudden overcome with this sadness that I can say I've only felt if a loved one has passed away. I am just sad, and I start crying, and I feel like I can feel her. I can feel her sadness, and I start crying, and I tell her, I said, I just started talking to her, and I said, I'm so sorry that you passed away alone, and I'm so sorry that your children were not here with you, but this is not your house, and you have to move on. You're scaring me. And all of a sudden, I felt warmth as if someone was hugging me. And I get chills talking about it. And as quickly as that all came, it was gone. And it's been 3 weeks and nothing else has ever happened since. So, I mean, I hope that she moved on. I hope that, you know, I was able to help somehow. But there's been other things where I lived before here, and I definitely want to call and give you those stories again at a later time. But thanks so much for hearing my story. I hope to hear it on the podcast. I've gotten everybody in my office listening to you guys. So keep up the excellent work and take care.
You know, that may be a case of where she showed enough compassion and almost love for this person that helped them cross over.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, she was just probably going to be around haunting forever, and this just was probably what that particular lady needed.
It was the right person at the right time for the right ghost,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Thank you for the story, and thank you for calling and sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to get your story on the air. Of course, you can also email that into us. Email Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to record the audio file on your phone, then just send it on over. Very convenient for our overseas listeners, rather than the long-distance charges and such. And by the way, if you like our show, we asked... hopefully you can get some support to keep it on the air, EPP memberships. So you get a bonus episode of the show every single week. There are literally more than 100 of those up there now, exclusive video stuff and more, full episodes, best stories we got, they go there. So if you want to really get freaked out and take the show up a level or two in the freakiness, check that out at ghostpodcast.com, ghostpodcast.com, $5 a month, get all that stuff. And a guarantee to get pretty freaked out. Let's go over to Robert in Arizona. Hi.
Hey, guys. This is Robert from Bullhead City, Arizona, calling to give you guys another story. First, I just wanted to tell you I was listening to the podcast, and I heard my first story I sent in to you guys. And I was so intent on the end, waiting to see what you guys were going to say. And, well, it was not what I expected. I laughed so hard what you guys were talking about afterwards. It made me cry. So thank you for that, guys. It was awesome. So this next story I have to tell you is in 2003, my father passed away. Now, my mom and dad divorced when I was young, so I didn't get to spend a lot of time with them and or see him. They lived in two separate towns. So I was always had that I want to have a father type thing, you know. So he passed away in 2003, and me being young in high school still, I was like, what's the best way to honor my father? So I did what I didn't know at the time was not supposed to be done, and I tattooed him on his name on my body when he was born and when he died. And everybody told me, wow, you shouldn't have done that because you don't tattoo the dead on your body, because it can cause different things, as in you trap his spirit, soul on the planet, and or it can cause hauntings and whatnot. So I just discarded it. But then I started noticing as I was getting older and I started to be able to drive, I was getting into situations when I drove where bad things should have happened. Like I should have died or caused a massive accident or something along those lines, and nothing happened. Like, I got into a car accident, and I had one of the big truck jacks in the back of my truck. Wasn't tied down, it was just sitting in the back. And I had hit a guy probably going about 35 miles an hour. My brakes locked up, so I slid into the back of him, and the cop was surprised that the truck jack didn't fly through the back of the windshield tape me, which, thank God it didn't. So yeah, I had strange things like that happen, but I always just discounted it as I just got very, very lucky. Well, when I was living with my ex-wife and we had a bunch of people living in our house, you know, we had friends that needed places to stay cause they couldn't afford to live or were just getting back on their feet, you know, stuff like that. I had one that was sleeping on the couch in the living room. We had two couches in the living room, and they were along the same wall. And he said in the middle of the night, he woke up and he seen somebody sitting on the couch. And he said the person on the couch looked very familiar to him. And in the living room, I also had a picture of my father. And he looked over and he seen the picture and he went, wow. He's like, that's Robert's dad. So he's like, he asked the person sitting on the couch, the other couch from him, are you Robert's father? And he said all the person did, or spirit, whatever it may have been, looked over at him, looked forward, stood up, walked up the stairs and walked down the hallway to my bedroom and disappeared. So, you know, I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. You know, when I woke up, I was like a little creeped out when he told me. Kind of gave me goosebumps and a lot of mixed emotions because, you know, being my father. Then my other buddy that was living in the house was listening to the same story, and he's like, where was he sitting? So, you know, my friend showed him, and he's like, wow. He's like, I won't sit in that spot. He's like, every time I go to sit down right there, I feel like I have to get up. Like, I can't get comfortable. like something is poking at me to get up and get out of that spot. He's like, I will never sit in that spot. I get very weary when I get around it. So, yeah, that's pretty much everything that has ever happened father-wise that people have told me. If I have trapped his spirit on this planet, I'm looking at it as a guardian angel because he loved to drive. And like I said previously, I've had a lot of things that have happened where driving, I should have either been killed or caused a massive accident. So yeah, just thought I'd share that with you guys. It's quick, easy, something interesting, maybe something you guys can discuss. Well, I'll call back later to add on to more stories. I hope you guys enjoy. Thank you and have a great day.
I have never heard of that. Have you heard of that about the tattoos? If you tattoo somebody, tattoo the dead on you, that it traps them?
I have not heard that before.
I haven't either.
That seems like it would, it's, you know, for lack of a better term, some sort of folklore mm-hmm. something. You know, it could be a superstition, could be, you know, it's like anything. It's, you know, some, I guess it could be part of some belief system. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I had not heard of that one.
No, and it makes me wonder how far back that goes, because tattooing is a very, very, very old art.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you wonder, when did that get started?
It kind of gives you the choice of who you want to trap.
Mm-hmm.
Mom.
She'd be stuck. Yeah.
Now after hearing that, she's going to be like, don't you ever get my name tattooed on you. I don't think I'd ever get a tattoo, ever. But that would... I might just do it just to irk her a little bit.
Really?
I'm going to get a text about this, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, where are you going to get the tattoo at? You know, just wait.
Yeah.
It'll happen in the next couple of days. That'd be kind of interesting if you could do that. And would you do it for good or would you do it for bad?
I don't think I'd do it at all because I don't want somebody haunting me, whether it's good or bad.
What if you got it removed? Does that release them then from...
I don't know.
Maybe this is the problem with all the hauntings. This is why we have ghosts. It's because people have been tattooing names on themselves for far too long, and this is the connection right there.
Could be.
Once the tattoo's removed, suddenly the ghost goes away.
Okay.
Interesting. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hey, guys. My name is Rochelle, and I am from Sioux City, Iowa. I just started listening to your podcast, and I am in love with it. My whole life, I have been experiencing supernatural things going on. Each home we lived in, my dad was in the military, so we moved around a lot. So around each house, there would always be something going on, which made me believe, you know, maybe something's following me, and so forth. But I have many stories to tell, but one that really, like, highlighted my life was when I was about, I want to say, 14, 15, and we were living in an apartment, and I had my own room, and I had two other siblings. And I was listening to a CD that day, and I was like, it was on repeat to me, and it was like, I think it was on track number 5, so you had to scroll on my CD player thing. You had to scroll and, you know, click the number. So we were listening to the song, or I was listening to the song, all day long, you know, doing my homework or whatnot. And then for the night, I took out the CD, put it in my disc case, and then I went to bed. Well, that night, I woke up because the song I was playing all day long was in the CD player on the track that I was listening to all day long. And it was like on loud, like as loud as it could go. And it scared me. And then I noticed that it woke up my parents, and they woke up my siblings, and we're like, what the heck is going on? So, you know, that was the first of it. So I was like, okay, that's kind of weird, because I swore I put it back in the case before I went to sleep, you know. So I'm laying in bed, and it's a school night, I remember. And all of a sudden, I feel the bed start shaking. So I'm thinking, you know, is it an earthquake, or what the heck's going on? But it's pitch black, and I can't see what's going on. And I was, like, feeling my legs to see if, like, they're moving, but they're not. And the bed's moving. So I'm like, someone, to me, it feels like they're shaking my bed to wake me up, and I'm up. But it kept going. So ever since then,
I went and started sleeping with my parents. Well, this time my dad was off working and I was sleeping with my mom. And my mom has a tendency of like moving her leg when she's like trying to rock herself to sleep, I guess, more when she was trying to go to sleep. So we're laying there and she went to sleep and I went to sleep. And then I wake up because the bed is moving. And then I'm like, okay. So I like, you know, I sit up. I can't see anything. It's pitch black. I reach over to my mom's legs and I feel her legs, and her legs are still and the bed's moving. So I'm like, something is trying to wake me up and I can't, and I don't know what it is. So I go back to my room and I sit there. And I'm wondering, you know, is it the complex, or is it me, or I don't know, you know, what this thing wants, or what's it trying to do? It's just trying to wake me up. Well, we're going years down the road from that incident. Nothing has ever woke me up. And I'm in college, and I'm laying in bed in my dorm. I'm going to sleep because I had worked a late shift, and I got home, and it was like around 1:30. And I had to go to sleep because I had a class at 7 the next day. And I'm laying there, and I hear my dorm room open. And keep in mind, the dorm room that I was staying in was like an apartment, but it had 4 bedrooms, so 3 other girls could stay there. And then we shared like a kitchen or whatnot. So I heard my dorm door open. I didn't pay any attention to it because maybe it's like one of the girls checking in on me or whatnot to see if I made it home. But I could kind of tell like something was wrong, but I didn't like look up and look to see who it was. So I just, you know, lay there. I was in and out of sleep anyway. And then all of a sudden, I felt like something started shaking the bed. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is like a blast from the past. Something's trying to wake me up. And then I get out of my covers and I look and I sit up and nothing's there, but my door's open. And then I get up and I look and all the girls are asleep and some of the girls are gone. I'm just like, what is going on? So if you guys can help me out with this and just, you know, tell me your opinion on what do you think it is, if someone's trying to tell me something or what should I do, I'd really appreciate it. All right, thanks, guys.
It's almost like they're trying to wake you for like a safety reason, but it's not correlating to anything that you need to wake up for,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I'm saying?
Or that you're aware of.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a hard one to tell. I mean, anything going on? Is there any reason why you'd need to be extra aware of your surroundings
mm-hmm.
right now at night? I guess I'd have to ask those questions.
Yeah.
And see if something correlates there. But it does seem like there's some sort of intent. I don't know what it is. I would imagine it's more than just because they like waking people up.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be one of those meanings you may not discover for a little while. But start thinking beyond the ghost stuff and start thinking about reality stuff. And what is life like where you're at night? And see if there's some sort of thing that may be correlating there.
Yeah.
I guess that's all I can come up with.
Right.
Know? Let us know if you discover anything there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Online. And that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. You sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com. It is super easy to do. $5 a month is all it is. Or you can sign up for a full year and get 1 month absolutely free. Lots of folks do that and get a little bit of savings. And then you're locked in for a lot of ghost stories all year long. Check that out. Ghostpodcast.com. That's what fuels this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands.
Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.